Oh, there's one over here. All right. Well, good afternoon. It is a privilege to be asked to speak on this subject, why teach music? I am not a school board member, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm a teacher, and I taught music in Kansas for 6 years before we moved to Indiana. I taught grades 5 through 12, so it was just music, so it was a part-time job, and recently moved to Elnora, Indiana, where I teach music full-time at the Elnora Bible Institute. So, I believe in being practical, so I'm going to do some things here this afternoon that are practical, because I think we can remember some practical things a little better sometimes than just speaking. So, I was planning to lead a verse of God of Our Strength during this introduction. Well, we already got that out of the way, so pretend that we just had that. Now, take out your hymnals again, and let's sing number 304. Number 304. Let's sing one verse.
O Son of God, we wait for thee in love for thine appearing. We know thou sittest on thy throne, and we thy name are bearing. Who trust thee?
I set you up. You know that, don't you? I was tempted to do this. Just say this and do this. After singing that song, just say, and that's why teach music. And sit down. But if I bothered coming up here anyway, I guess I'll talk a little bit longer than that. But I figure that's about as good an introduction as we need. It's pretty practical, isn't it? Okay. But I have 3 points here today, 3 main points for why we should teach music. So first of all, music is essential in the kingdom of God. It is not optional. It is essential. We teach music because Christ-centered music education prepares students to use music effectively in the kingdom. And remember, it's essential in the kingdom. We teach students to use it effectively. And the third thing is kind of obvious, but if we don't have music education, a lack of music education for children perpetuates music illiteracy and the effects of illiteracy. And then I hope at some point you are willing to say, we can improve. And then the last point is practical ideas about what we can do to improve music education. So let's start with music being essential in the kingdom of God. This is the main point. This is what I have to say today, this first point. This is where we get our vision from, is the purpose of music in the kingdom. Music is essential in the kingdom in a number of ways, but it's first of all, it's essential for worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving are all much more than singing, but singing is essential in these things. In worship, in a simple way, I think we could think of worship as we turn our hearts to look at the Father's heart, and then we respond to what we see there. That's what worship is. And music helps us connect our hearts to His heart. So the process... So music helps us feel more than just know things. It helps us feel things. And so it's useful as we see the heart of God and as we express our adoration to Him. It helps us feel in that process. It's a wonderful gift. Music is also necessary in praise. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." So enthroned means that God makes his home or his dwelling place in the praises of his people. Just a few practical things, stories. David Wilkerson tells about how with the Teen Challenge program, they worked with drug addicts, right? Tried to get them free from all the junk and the bondage that they're involved in. And he said they often found freedom for people during the times of worship and praise and singing. That often brought more freedom into their lives than all the other things they tried to do. There was something about that experience of worship and of praise that brought them to freedom, that helped them see the Lord. However all it happened, it worked. Various missionaries have talked about it, that when they make praise a high priority, praise in singing, lifting up the name of Jesus, that things begin to change. There were some missionaries in Papua New Guinea who were having a hard time reaching people. They're very closed, and they felt the Lord was directing them to make praise a high priority in everything they did. So they began to do that in obedience, and things changed so drastically. They planted many churches. People were open to the gospel. And I wonder why that happened. And then I realize Psalm 22:3 says, "You are enthroned in the praises of Israel." We are spiritually Israel. And so God is enthroned in our praises now. If God is made at home, if he makes his home in our praise, then the darkness is no longer at home. So praise is a powerful tool in our lives just to bring the presence of God into our lives. And we know from the Psalms that singing is often part of praise. It's an important part of praise. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." There's something about the presence of God and praise and singing and thanksgiving. I don't know how it all goes together, but I know that according to what the Bible says, we are supposed to sing, that it fits together. Singing and the presence of God go hand in hand. And so, music is essential in worship, praise, and thanksgiving. What's essential for other things as well? It's essential for being filled with the Spirit. Turn to Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, if you have your Bibles with you. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, and then jumping directly to Colossians 3 as well. We'll just read both of those scriptures together. These are the primary instructions about music and singing in the New Testament. And so they're very important instructions for us. Here it is, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So in this passage, we see that music is essential in three things. It's essential in being filled with the Spirit. It's essential in the teaching and admonishing that needs to happen in the church. And it's essential for allowing the words of Christ to dwell, make their home in us. So let's look at that. Let's look first of all at being filled with the Spirit and what that means in this passage. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, he makes a funny comparison. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why wine? Why are we talking about wine when we're talking about the Spirit? Does that make any sense? Well, I think it does make sense. When we are filled with wine, to excess and we are drunk, we have become under the influence. We have come under the influence of another spirit. And that spirit influences us to think, say, and do things that we would not do otherwise. We have come under the influence of an unholy spirit. We have been filled with something that caused us to do that. Over time, it wears off. But if we get filled again, we will do those same things again. Over here, to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with a Holy Spirit. So that we come under the influence of another spirit, but this one is a person. This is God Himself, the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled and under the influence of this Spirit, we will think, say, and do things that we wouldn't do otherwise. When we are filled with the Spirit, we will look and think and act more like Jesus. When we are filled with the Spirit, we will live fruitful lives because God in us is fruitful. And it seems, according to this passage, it's clear, the word be filled in the Greek means be being filled. So it's a continual process. It's not something we do one time and we're filled and we're good to go. We live our Christian lives and we're all happy. No, it's something just like the alcoholic over here. The alcoholic drinks and becomes drunk. Even when he's not drunk, he's an alcoholic. Over here, we can still be a Christian but not be filled with the Spirit. But to be filled with the Spirit, in order to be filled with the Spirit and to be in the process of being filled, we are supposed to speak. It says in verse 19, speaking to one another. So who's doing the speaking? Is God doing the speaking or are we doing the speaking? Oh, we're doing the speaking. Well, who's doing the filling with the Spirit? Are we doing that or is God doing that? Well, God's doing that. So God already wants to do that in our lives. He wants to fill us. But He has told us to do something. It's not just going to happen. He's not going to pour wine down our throat over here. He's not going to pour the Holy Spirit down our throat over here. We have something to do. We need to sing. And for a musician, that's a wonderful problem to have. We need to sing more. I love it. But it's not just singing. It says, well, I'll go to that later. So let's look at the next thing. It is essential for being filled with the Spirit. Singing is essential for that. But singing is also essential for teaching and admonishing. We don't really remember sermons very long, do we? No, not most things. Not most things that we hear in a sermon. But we remember songs. If we sing them over and over again, we sing them. We remember them. They're memorized. They keep coming back to us throughout the week, throughout our lives. But we don't hear sermons often enough to say them over and over to ourselves. So, hymns and songs, rich spiritual songs, are truly sermons set to music. And they are powerful influences in our lives. They are powerful for teaching ourselves, powerful for teaching each other. So that is part of the teaching ministry in the church, is to sing so that we will teach each other. Give each other sermons that we will always remember. We're going to remember those sermons all our lives if we sing them over and over. That's a good reason to sing really good songs, I think. There are a lot of songs out there. We don't have to learn all of them. Let's just learn the best ones. And in the Colossians passage, we see that singing is essential for allowing the words of Jesus to take up residence in us. Interesting, it says, let the word of Christ dwell. Dwell means to live. It doesn't say, make the words of Jesus live in you. It doesn't say, make the Spirit fill you. It says, you need to do something. In the process of singing, you are making a space for the words of Christ to live and abide in you in wisdom. And don't we need wisdom? Wisdom is one of the things I pray for most often. We pray for it over and over. We need wisdom. Give that person wisdom. And yet, the Lord wants to give us wisdom, and one of the ways he will do it is through our singing. But it's not just, for all of these things, it's not just singing. There are four important elements here. He mentions different kinds of songs that we should sing. Psalms, those are for sure the book of Psalms and probably other scripture songs. Hymns generally are focused toward God. He is the subject. They are about him. And spiritual songs. Whatever is included in the term spiritual songs, for sure we can know that the root of spiritual is spirit. And the songs that we sing must be songs that were sung with our spirit. Our spirit is involved in these spiritual songs. But when we sing, we need to do four things. It's not just singing. In Ephesians, in verse 19, it says, singing and making melody in your heart. That's the second thing. The heart needs to be involved. The word making melody here means play or pluck. It's a word that is used for playing an instrument. So that means that God apparently thinks of the heart as an instrument that is supposed to be played while we sing. It's not enough just to sing. If we sing and our heart is not engaged, we're not going to be filled with the Spirit. We're not going to have the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. We're not going to be teaching effectively. If we are singing and our heart is engaged and we are playing our heart to the Lord, the third thing is to the Lord. And the fourth thing is filled with thankfulness. Both passages mention thankfulness after it speaks of singing. So those four things are so important. They are foundational. So in our singing must include those four things. It's very easy to sing and miss the to the Lord part, or to sing and miss the play your heart part. But it needs to become all four things. We need to teach that. And we need to model that so that we can experience that in our churches, and God will be glorified, and we will benefit from it. So music is essential in the kingdom of God. Now, the second reason we teach music is that Christ-centered music education prepares students to use music effectively in the kingdom. It's essential in the kingdom. Let's learn how to use it effectively. And I suggest that it does that in two ways, at least two ways. These are the two we're looking at. It prepares students to be effective, to use music effectively, by preparing them to be active participants, not just innocent bystanders or passive bystanders, but to be actively participate in the process of singing. At the beginning, I led the first song. It was familiar. We joined in. It was beautiful. And then during the introduction, I led a new song. I chose the hardest one I could find, the one I thought would go the worst. And I tried to sing it fast enough that we wouldn't be able to sing it very well. But it's hard to participate if you don't know what's going on. If you're looking at a new song and I'm singing too fast, you don't have time to figure it out. It's really hard to be actively participating in that process. So here's a purpose statement from Pilgrim Christian Schools, and this is where I taught for 6 years. Something for you to think about. The music program at Pilgrim Christian Schools exists to prepare students for a lifetime of active participation in worship by teaching them four things: how to read music, how to sing with energy and freedom, how to listen to and understand excellent music, and how to make wise listening choices. So that was my goal, and I met that goal imperfectly at very best. But that's what I tried to do. So let's just look at each of those four things, and let's see briefly how each of those things can help students learn to be active participants. First of all, teaching them how to read music. Well, that's pretty obvious. That goes back to what I mentioned. If they open up a hymnal, they know what to do. They know what's going on. It's not Greek to them. It's so hard to be active if you don't know. I like to teach my students everything about the hymnal. So we look at a hymnal. Okay, which is the composer? Which is the author? What are those numbers, 8686? What are those funny words, downs, CM? All those things. What's going on? Teach them how to navigate a hymnal. Teach them how to use the indexes so that when they go to church, they open up a hymnal and it makes sense. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, that's neat. And they can even figure out that this song, these words would work with this tune. Okay? They can become active when they know more about it. And that's not even learning how to read music. That's just reading a hymnal, reading the indexes. And learning to read music lets them know, helps them learn new music, helps them be confident in learning their part, in singing their part. What about singing with energy and freedom? Does that help students become active participants in worship and singing? I think so. Singing with energy and freedom is about getting rid of the things that make it hard for us to sing. The things like the huffing and puffing and I can't breathe very well and it's just hard to sing. Or it hurts when I sing. Or I sing for 10 minutes and my voice starts to wear out. Well, it's just hard to be active when that happens. So we want them to be able to sing freely. We want them to get over the idea that sticking out or I don't want other people to hear me. You know, I want to be a soloist. Some people have heard from music teachers that, oh, you're tone deaf. Or you just make sure you sing really softly. You'll never learn how to sing really. Oh. It makes me very sad to hear those stories. But those stories still come out. There's still adults who are affected by things music teachers said about that. And that is just so wrong. They should be able to sing and sing freely. And even if they cannot sing as beautifully as the next person, they should feel comfortable singing with the voice God gave them. Singing with energy and freedom helps them participate. How to listen to and understand excellent music. This is another important thing. Because what we listen to really shapes us. Of course, that goes with the last point as well. But learning to listen to what is truly good and learning to understand what makes this music last. Why is it that I could turn on a CD, I could play an example of this composer or whatever, and it was written 300 years ago. And in the last year, somewhere in the United States, people were playing this in an orchestra or in a small group. Why? We don't know how much music has been written that disappeared, but it's a lot. So why is it that some music has stayed around? It'd be really neat for them to learn about that, because then they'd learn to see quality. If they learn to see quality, they can learn to appreciate quality. And I hope if you are using good hymnals, you're singing good songs in church, you are singing quality. So when they get to church, they can recognize this is quality, and it helps them participate actively. And making wise listening choices, the fourth thing. It's related to understanding excellent music. But just noticing that the more we eat sugar, the less we are satisfied with other things. And there is a lot of sugar music available. Sugar music and worse. But there is steak music available and all kinds of meats and barbecue sauces and potatoes in between. And if we help students learn to make wise listening choices, they will learn to be satisfied by what is truly good. So when they get to church, or they get with a youth group, or they're singing in a choir, they don't have to have a sugary drink in order to be satisfied. Teach them to make wise choices so that they will have a taste for what is truly good. So a good Christ-centered education prepares them to be active participants. But also, it teaches them to love music. It teaches them to love to do what God has commanded them to do. Now, this point is really important to me. Because love is the highest motivation in the kingdom. And we see this from Jesus' command The two greatest commandments. Everything hinges on this right here. If you miss everything else, get this. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything hinges on that. That's a powerful motivation. Did you know it's so much easier to do something if we love to do it? And music, by its very nature, brings pleasure. It's supposed to, because music is the language of emotion. It's supposed to be fun to sing. There's nothing wrong with having it be fun to sing. Enjoyable. When we sing, we raise our voices. That should be a wonderful experience. It's supposed to be that way. But in order for students to love to participate, they need to have wonderful experiences with music when they are young. They need to have experiences in music class where they have so much fun. They learn to love to sing. And as they get older, they will still love to sing. And they will sing because they want to, not because they have to. And so this is where I feel so strongly about this one, that music classes need to have an element of fun. And so that's what this demonstration is all about. We are now officially embarking on a classroom. You're becoming a classroom. And you're maybe fourth or fifth grade. We are talking about schools, right? So if you feel a little bit uneasy about being a participant, just shake that off because you have students in your schools, right? So this will help you identify with them. So we're going to have two classrooms. I'm going to demonstrate two classrooms, and you will participate in these classrooms. And the first classroom is the snoring, boring classroom, and the second classroom is the fun classroom. But before I demonstrate, I'm the first person in line. I'm raising my hand. I already got the snoring, boring classroom award a number of times, and I still win that award sometimes. So I don't always teach. It's not always fun when I teach, but I try. So I'm not pointing fingers at people. I'm not imitating anyone in particular. I'm just going to show something that I would classify as a snoring, boring class. But you're going to help, remember? That's why starting now you are officially boys and girls. Okay, hello boys and girls. Welcome to music class. Today we're going to have a lesson on rhythm. I want you to take out your pencils or pens, whatever you have, grab a piece of paper, and we're going to write some things down today. If you don't have a pen, you could share with a neighbor, maybe share it back and forth. This is very important. We're going to learn about rhythm. Rhythm is foundational to music. So it's very important that we understand rhythm. Now, if you can't see very well in the back, then I'm sorry. Squint. All right, back to our class. Okay, look at this. This is a whole note. Okay, write it down. And it equals four beats. Now, this, you draw a circle and then draw a line down on the right side. This is a half note. Now, if a whole note is four beats and a half note is half the size of a whole note, how many beats will a half note have? Anyone? Two. That's right. Let's write that down. Two beats. Now, this, if we make a circle and we fill it in and we draw a line on the right side, that is called a quarter note. Now, if a quarter note is one quarter of a whole note and a whole note is four beats, how many beats does a quarter note have? Anyone? Say it out loud. One, that's right, it's one. So it's a quarter, it's one-fourth of this. So that equals one. Very good. Now we have one number missing. What number is that? That's a very good question. It doesn't really matter in this class. You need to just listen up and not ask questions in this class. In the snoring, boring class, you may not ask questions. So, what is missing now? Three. Okay, let's write it down. Three. This one looks a lot like the half note, but this time we put a dot right beside it. And we call it a dotted half note. And it equals three beats. So now I'll pause here. If we continue this lesson, I would write out some rhythms. I'd write out maybe four measures, and I would ask students to write in some rhythms. I would put a half note, and I'd say, okay, now we need to have four beats in this measure. What kind of note do we have to have it to fill up the measure? That sort of thing. It'd be sort of musical math. Anyway, so you can just kind of picture we could keep going with this and so forth, but that's where we have to stop for now. There's good information here. It's necessary information. And if you were picturing yourself as a fourth or fifth grader, I hope you weren't feeling exhilarated. Okay. See, as an adult, you can handle this a lot better. It'd be kind of boring when you teach adults, but when you teach children, it's nice to be a little more exciting. Okay. So now, again, I hope you can see this. Just do your best. This is going to be the fun music classroom. This is the classroom, or the kind of classroom, that I believe students are going to be more likely to come out of loving music, being willing to sing when they get older, sing in church, because they're used to being active, they're used to doing things, and it's fun. So they will be motivated by love and not just motivated by, we have to do this because this is what we do in church. Okay. So, is it afternoon? Yes. No, it's good morning. That's right. Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to music class. Today we're going to have a lesson on rhythm. Now, I'm going to do some things, and I want you just to do it right back. I'm going to tap my legs like this. Can you do that? Let's try it. Try it four times. Ready and go. Tap. Very good. That is called a pulse, a steady pulse. Everybody say, steady pulse. Very good. So I'm going to do something, and you're going to do it right back. I'll motion to you when you do it back. So you're going to tap your legs, and you're going to say something. Ta, 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 ta. Good. Ta, ta, ta. Ta, di, ta, ta, ta. Good. Ta, 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 di, ta. Ta, ta. Oh, a little better. Ta, ta. Ta, di, ta, di, ta, ta. Oh, good job. You're keeping a nice steady pulse. Very good. Now, let's look at this on the board. I'm going to draw a line like this. Every time you see this line, you're going to tap and you're going to say, ta. Let's try tapping this one. Ready and go. Ta. Well, that was pretty good. Let's do the first two. Ready and go. Ta, ta. Oh, good. Well, let's do all four of them, shall we? Can you do that? Okay. Make sure you tap hard. Ready and go. Ta, ta, ta. Oh, perfect. You're able to read music. Very good. Now, every time we see this symbol right here, we are going to tap twice and say ta, like this. Ta. You try it. Let's do this one. Ready and go. Ta. Oh, good. Do you think this one is going to sound the same or different? Same, if you could read it. Yes. So let's do both of them. Ready and go. Ta, ta. Oh, very good. Do you think we could mix them up a little bit? I bet we could. Let's try it. Let's do this right here. Can you do this? Okay, one, two, ready, and go. Ta, ta, ta. Oh, well, that's so good. Well, I wonder if we could do some other stuff. Let's try this. This looks very fancy. See this? For this, we tap once, and we say, ta-di. Let's try it. Ready, and go. Ta-di. Again, ta-di. And now we'll just do it three times. Let's do it four times. Four times in a row. Ready and go. Ta di, ta di, ta di, ta di. Okay, well, that's great. Very good. Let's try another marker that might show up a little bit better. What color do you want? Do you want red? Good. You want purple? We don't have a purple. Let's try this one. And let's use a better color, like this. Okay. Oh, we're not doing that. We're doing this one. That's right. Okay, let's see if you can remember all of these. One, two, ready, and go. Ta-dee-ta-dee-ta. Oh, very good. You're reading rhythms very well. Let's try this. Oh, no. I'm going to do a different one. Oh, no. It fell on the floor. Oh. If I write slower, it shows up better. Okay, how many times do we tap for this note, everyone?
Two.
How many times for this one?
One.
How many for this one?
Two.
How many for this one? We tap once, but what do we say, everyone?
Ta-di.
Let's do that and make sure we can remember it. Just this one, ready, and go. Ta-di. Let's do these two together. Ready, and go. Ta-ta-di. Oh, that's great. Let's do the whole line. One, two, ready, and go. Ta, 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 di, ta, ta. That is so good. Do you think you can do it backwards? You try. Let's do it backwards. One, two, ready, and go. Ta, 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 di, ta, ta. Ooh, let's try it this way. This half of the class starts over here and goes this way, and this half of the class starts over here and goes this way. Let's see which side can be the most confident. One, two, ready, and go! Well, that was a pretty good job. I think I heard a little bit more sound over here. Let's do it the other way. Okay, well, where are you starting? You're starting on the end, and you're going to start at the beginning. Let's see which side can be the loudest and the most confident. One, two, ready, and go! Ta! Oh, very good. Now that time, both sides really sang out. You both get the blue ribbon on this one. Oh, good. Let's do the next. Let's do like this. Oh, they are all getting a little bit iffy here. Oh. I wonder if you can do this line. Do you think you can do this line of rhythm? Actually, can you even see it? Well, pretend that you can. We're doing the second line of rhythm. One, two, here we go. Ta, 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 di, ta, ta. Oh, that's good. Let's do this. Okay. And now, let's do the rhythm on this last line. How many times are you going to tap on this one? Two times. How many times on this one? Oh, good. Let's start right here. One, two, confident. Ta, 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 ta. That is so good. I think we can go from the very beginning and go all the way through. Let's see if we can do that. And let's do this just for fun. Let's make this side, this first line, loud, and the second line, soft, and the last line, loud. Can we do that? Let's try. One, two, ready, and go. Ta, 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 di, ta, ta, ta. Good job. Did you know you just read the rhythm of a song? You're reading music. Very good. And you kept a steady pulse. Did you know that music has a heartbeat? And take out your pulse. Take out your wrist here, and see if you can feel your pulse. Have you ever tried to feel your pulse? Put two fingers right here and see if you can feel it. See that? That pulse represents your heartbeat. Your heart is beating. Did you know that your heart is so steady? That's what a pulse is. A beat is steady, and a beat goes through the whole song. So every song has a heartbeat. And when we tap like this while we sing, we are tapping the heartbeat. Now, let's jump ahead a little bit and have some advanced, a little more advanced knowledge, as if we have already taught this in other times and we're getting used to it. Okay. Can you see this okay? Those who can see it, just say what you see. This is D for do, R for re, and T for T. Okay, let's say it together. Just say it. Say do, re, re, do, ti, do. Okay, that's just to make sure you can kind of hopefully see it. Let's write this one next line. Okay. And you can sort of pretend to see this last line. Okay, let's say it on the second line. Make sure you can see it. Go. Mi, mi, fa, fa, mi, re, mi, do, la. You see this little mark right here? That mark, ooh, it's kind of not, there we go. That means it's going down below do and not above do. That's why this mark is here too. It's T, it's going down below. So let's do this last line again. Do, la, so, ti, do. I wonder if we can have this class side of the class do the rhythm. And you'll say ta, 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 di, ta. And this side of the class is going to say, going to tap and say do, re, re, do, ti, do. Can you do that? Let's see which side of the class could be most confident. One, two, ready, and go. Do, re, re, do, ti, do. Mi, mi, fa, fa, mi, re, mi. Do, la, so, ti, do. Very good. Let's switch. And let's just do the first line for the sake of time. But switch. One, two, ready, and go. Very nice. Both sides are being pretty confident. So now we are going to sing this song. Again, this wouldn't all happen in one class period. This kind of spread out over time, but we're accelerating it. So we have do. Let's tap the pulse. Let's go a little bit slower since this is our first time singing it on the do, re, mi stuff. One, two, ready, and go. Do, re, re, do, ti, do. Mi, mi, fa, fa, mi, re, mi, do, la, so, ti, do. Very good. And we'd keep going through the process, and we'd teach them the words. But you already know the words, let's pretend. So, I assume you know the words. You all know the words? Okay. Some of you know. Well, let's sing it. It's Father, Father, I adore you. Lay my life be for you, how I love you. Okay, let's sing the words on verse one, everyone. And let's tap the pulse. One, two, ready, and go. Father, I adore you. Lay my life be for you, how now let's sing it on the rhythm, like this. Ta, 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 di, ta. Let's try it. Ready, and go. Ta, 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 di, ta, ta. Ta, 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 di, ta. Very good, and we're just saving time here. Okay, so now you all know the words. It's Father, I adore you, the first verse. Jesus, I adore you. And then Spirit, I adore you. And we're going to sing it as a round. We'll divide the class into several groups. So we're going to have, let's see, the man in the checker shirt, red checker, that's you. You. Okay, so raise your hand. Okay, from there on up, you're group one. And from the bench behind you on back, on both sides, you're group two. So you can see where you're at approximately there. And then from the row behind Vernon, I don't know the names here, but you're group three, okay? We're going to sing all three verses, and we'll stand pretty soon to do that. But now we're back to the classroom. So when we sing, Father, I adore you, we are saying that we love God. And when we sing, we need to sing to the Lord. It's not just singing for fun in music class, although it's fun, but it's ultimately about singing to the Lord. And so when we sing these words, Father, Jesus, and Spirit, let's remember that we are singing to the Lord and turn our hearts to Him. And when it says, lay my life before you, we are saying, we give ourselves to you so that you can use us and do whatever you want to with our lives. Okay, let's sing that and let's stand. So group one starts, and we'll sing all three verses. And Father, I adore you. Father, I adore you. Father, I adore you. Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, I adore you. Spirit, I adore you. Spirit, I adore you. Spirit, I adore you.
May my life be for you.
Everyone. How I love you. Amen. You may be seated. It is vital that students have many positive experiences with music. It's not about facts. There are facts that they need to learn, but they learn them in the context of experience. Let them tap, and eventually they'll learn about a steady pulse. Eventually they'll learn that it's called a quarter note and a half note, but they don't need to know that right away. In fact, they shouldn't learn that right away. They should learn that later on. They should just do it for a while. That's how we learn language. We speak it, and then eventually we learn what we're saying and how to write it, and that's an ah vowel. Oh, it's an ah vowel. I've been using that for years. It's an ah vowel. Okay. So Christ-centered music education prepares students to use music effectively in the kingdom. And now the third point. Lack of music education for children perpetuates music illiteracy. And I believe that many conservative Anabaptist churches are suffering with music illiteracy, that their singing in churches is suffering because of it, that the tastes, the musical tastes of the children and the young people are suffering because of it, and many problems related to that. But I also fully believe, just want to put this in here, that it is fully possible to love the Lord, to sing from your heart without ever having been taught anything about music. Okay, I hope you understand that. That's at the heart. It's just that teaching makes it easier to participate and gives you more tools to understand the language of music. So I think we have a serious problem in the conservative Anabaptist world, and I don't have time to go into why, what the reasons are. So I just hope you can believe that. But we're not the first ones to have this problem. Many other people have had this problem. And there are two people in particular that I'm going to point out to you that successfully dealt with the problem, and they have good things for us to learn. They successfully dealt with music illiteracy. So let's just go flying over their lives. First one is Lowell Mason. He was an American church musician and music educator. He lived in the mid-1800s, or he was very influential in the mid-1800s, and he saw a problem. And he came up with a solution, and he had good results. So I'm going flying over things here, right? But he saw the problem of general music illiteracy in the population. And he also saw poor congregational singing across the churches in America. Such poor singing. People didn't know how to sing, and they sang poor quality songs. And so it wasn't even that nice to sing the songs they did have. And he saw another problem. He said, they've been trying to reform church music for so long. And they tried all these different things, and it didn't work. And he had even helped with some of those things, like singing schools for adults. They had tried all kinds of things to help adults learn to sing better. It helped a little bit, but it didn't help long term. And so he said, that's a problem. And here's the solution he offered. He said, a thorough and permanent reformation in church music cannot be effected but by a gradual process. Children must be taught music as they are taught to read. Until something of this kind is done, it is vain to expect any great and lasting improvement. So he put his money and his time where his mouth was, and he taught music in the public school for a year, free, to show them people can learn to read music. Because up to that point, music was not included in the public education curriculum. Well, he convinced them that they should include it because he was successful. So starting in 1838, music education was introduced into the public school system, and it's been there ever since. Isn't it interesting that a devout Christian man was the one who started music in the public schools? And here's why he started it. I love this part. Listen carefully. Here's why he started it. He wrote that teaching vocal music in public schools was preparation for making the praise of God glorious in families and churches. That's a whole reason for public music education. I'll read that again. It was preparation for making the praise of God glorious in families and churches. And he succeeded in a lot of ways. Music literacy increased. In his church, congregational singing improved. In fact, their church was known for the excellence of singing. Excellence is not an end in itself, but it helps if you are able to sing from your heart to the Lord with thanksgiving and it sounds beautiful. That's better than if they're all there and it sounds bad. Okay, if everything else is equal, it's better if it's beautiful. It's more like heaven. It's more like God. So he saw dramatic results, and we can learn from him that we have to teach the children if we want anything to change down the road. Zoltan Kodály, it looks like Kodály, but it's pronounced Kodály, faced a similar situation in Hungary in the early 1900s. He saw a problem, and he came up with another solution, and he had good results as well. So let's learn from him. The problem he saw, musical literacy. Illiteracy all over Hungary. In fact, the top music students came to the highest music school in Hungary, and they couldn't even read and write music very well. And those are the best students. And everybody else was really badly musically illiterate. And so he said, we have to do something about it. And so he did. One man with a vision. He said, we have to teach the children. And what else do we have to do? We have to teach teachers to teach the children. And I didn't mention it, but Lowell Mason did that as well. He led teacher conventions every year, teaching them how to teach children. So there's a parallel here. There's a pattern. Teach the children, teach the teachers. He developed what is now called the Kodály method of teaching music. And he was so successful that now in Hungary, almost everyone sings, almost everyone plays an instrument. And concert halls are full of people. There are choirs all over the place because people love to sing. There are orchestras all over the place, both professional and amateur. And the people now understand their musical heritage like they didn't before because he used their own music to teach them. In fact, he was so successful in using this method that people have come to Hungary, have gone to Hungary from around the world for the last 50 years to study there to see what he did. People are still going to Hungary today to learn how did he do it. The Kodály method works. It's not the only method out there, but it works really well because it's so intuitive, and children learn to do things without knowing what they're doing. They just learn to do this. Some of what I did here was using the Kodály method. It's just easy. It takes a lot of the complexity out. And children learn to do easy things. And after a while, they know how to read and write music, and they don't even know they're reading and writing music. Sometimes they sing solos in music class, and they don't even know that they just sang a solo. They were just playing a game. It happens. It is so great. Wouldn't it be neat if we could incorporate some of the method into our own teaching? Well, I'm glad you asked if we could. because we can. But that's getting ahead of ourselves just a little bit. So let's go to the last point. We see these two men left good examples for us to deal with music education, deal with music literacy problems. So now let's look at what can you as church leaders, school board members, do to improve music education in your schools? Well, first and foremost, you can care about the importance of music in the kingdom of God. If you don't care about it, if it's not that important that we use music, then forget about it. Don't push it, okay? You have to have a vision for the first point. That's what everything hinges on. It's not about us. It's not about performing better. It's not ultimately about singing beautifully in choirs and churches. It's great if some of that can happen, but it's not the point. We have to have a vision for how music is used in the kingdom for the glory of God and for the edification of the body of Christ. So if you care about that, then keep going down the list. Hire music teachers who love music and who love to teach it. If necessary, hire a teacher to come in and just teach music. It doesn't have to be the homeroom teacher. I realize there are some sticky issues out there, but I'm not a school board member, so I can say these things. And make it worth their time. If you get a music teacher to come in, make it worth their time because they have to take off work to come. So in Kansas, I didn't have a full-time job for 6 years because I had to go teach music part of the time. I had a full-time job in the summer, I guess, but not during the school year. But the school made it worth my time, so I could afford to do that. Now, here's where can we use elements of the Kodai method in our own teaching? Question gets answered. Yes, use the With Glad Voices curriculum. Now, again, I may be stepping on toes, but I'm not going to put others down. I'm just going to lift this one up, okay? Right? It's a recent curriculum, and it is based on the Kodai method. And it incorporates songs, Christian songs, songs about Jesus, some folk songs. It incorporates that into the teaching instead of using the other folk songs that were used in the Kodai method. And it just uses things like things we've done here, solfege, motioning things, games, activities. And it is the best. It is hands down the best curriculum out there in the conservative Anabaptist world. I can't promote it highly enough, and I'm not getting paid to say that. I have some flyers on the table out there. If you're interested in more information, grab a flyer. There's a volume 1 and volume 2 of this curriculum, and they're working on a volume 3. It is so good. But people need to be taught how to use it. So here's another thing you need to do. Send people to Shenandoah Christian Institute of Music in Virginia and Ohio. Well, send them to the one in Virginia because that's where they can learn to teach music and take the classes by Wendy Good. My wife did that. She took a week-long set of classes from Wendy. Several months later, she started teaching grades 1 through 4 in our school back in Kansas. And all of a sudden, those 1st through 4th graders adored music class. Oh, it was the best time of the week. My wife was the best person in the whole world. They had so much fun in music class, and all she did was whatever Wendy showed her to do. She didn't have any experience teaching. She just copied it, did it, and then got her own ideas involved. And it worked so beautifully. Send people to Faith Builders so they can receive training. They're doing some teacher training. Sometimes they do some training in teaching music. Consider using the Pilgrim Choral Series. Those are some songs. That's a sticky one to add in here because I benefit if you do that. But if somebody else would have done it, I would still put it in here. So it's just songs that are arranged to make it easier for children, especially grades 6 through 10, right in that range. Just make it easier for them to sing. But songs that are fun. Hymns, O Worship the King, and the Rifted Rock, the Solid Rock, that sort of thing. And Wendy Good has also contributed some songs. Use good hymnals. If you don't have money to buy nice hymnals, then just get Hymns of the Church. Hymns of the Church has such good songs. Again, I'm lifting that one up. I'm not putting the others down, am I? I'm lifting it up. Okay. Because I love it so much. It has so many good songs. And if you can't afford to buy hymnals for your whole school, buy several copies of Hymns of the Church. And John D. Martin, the person who compiled it, has given permission to make copies. Anything that's not copyrighted. If it doesn't have a copyright notice at the bottom, make copies freely for any purpose. Make a songbook. Make a memorization book. You're going to memorize 8 hymns this year, school year, 1 every month, or 12 or 16 or something. Include them in music class. Include them in worship time. Do it. These help students learn to love what is good. Okay. So I've been talking and yakking for a very long time, and I appreciate it that you are Christians and forgiving. So, just to summarize, music is essential. We teach because music is essential in the kingdom of God. We teach music so students know how to use it in the kingdom of God. We teach it so that our children will be musically literate and can participate in music for the glory of God. May his name be praised.